Ladies and gentlemen, this here is Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Hosted by Amelia Dalton, yes, that would be me. And this week we're delving into one of the most revolutionary technological advances in my lifetime and yours, USB Type-C. Okay. Maybe revolutionary is a bit of a strong term here, but heck, how many times have you tried to plug in that regular old USB in the wrong way? Right? This week, my guest is Gervais Fong from Synopsys, and we're having ourselves a good old USB Type-C roustabout. Join us, won't you? Hi, Gervais. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Amelia. Thank you.
Now, many of my listeners will be familiar with USB Type-C, but for those who are not, can you please quickly summarize what are the key differences between USB Type-C and earlier standards?
Certainly. As everyone is very familiar with USB, we all use USB. A very common application is to, for example, recharge your smartphones or connect peripheral devices to your laptops. And you use the traditional USB connector and cable, and there's different sizes of connectors on them. And it's a wonderful interface. You just plug it in, and it just works, and people are very familiar with it. But one of the things that the historical USB connectors and cables have not been ideal in terms of usability is what I call the three-try connector, in the sense that many times you can plug it in one time and you get it correct, but there are instances where you plug it in the first time, you don't have it quite aligned with the receptacle, you think you've got the orientation wrong, you flip it over, it's clearly wrong, and then you flip it back the third time and it works. And that's what I kind of humorously refer to as a three-try connector. Well, with the new USB Type-C connector, it's fully reversible. It doesn't matter which orientation you try to plug it into. It'll work. It just takes care of it. And you don't have to worry about which connector on either end of the cable. They're both the same. So the reversibility feature and benefit is, I think, what users will immediately see as one of the biggest differences, as well as the benefits for the new standard. The other thing is, it's designed to be scalable in sense of speed. It supports all the legacy, older USB 2.0 speed modes. It supports the higher speed 5 gigabit per second USB 3.0 mode. And the latest USB standard, which is called USB 3.1, that runs at 10 gigabits per second. Another key difference is that it is designed to support the USB power delivery standard. That power delivery standard defines the ability for USB power delivery capable products to provide up to 100 watts of power through the cable. And this new Type-C standard enables that standard to be supported. The connector itself is very slim. The height of the connector, being short, makes it very ideal for a lot of the latest trends in product design. Thin smartphones, thin laptops is an example. The connector doesn't really get in the way there. Lastly, it supports this concept of alternate modes, where you can now not just transfer USB traffic over the cable, but also some video traffic. A good example is the DisplayPort protocol can now be transferred through the Type-C cable. So with the new Type-C specification, the USBIF has defined a single cable standard that can not only support the traditional data and power, but now can handle video. And I jokingly say that the only other thing they didn't define in the Type-C standard was the ability to transmit wirelessly through a cable.
So, Gervais, what do you think are the biggest design and adoption challenges around USB Type-C?
Well, the beauty of the Type-C standard is it's very easy for people to say, wow, this looks like a very appealing and attractive standard to adopt. And it can be a very straightforward and easy implementation of Type-C to one that is significantly more complex. What I mean by that is, for example, if all you have is a simple USB 2.0 design, And all you want to do is to support, say, the reversibility of that Type-C cable. All you really need to do is to take your existing USB 2.0 design and literally add two additional resistors to your board. The purpose of these resistors, it enables the system to determine the cable orientation and whether or not that product that's being plugged in is a host or a device. But as you want to take advantage of a lot of these other Type-C features that I described in the first question, the design challenge becomes more complex. The beauty of making it so easy for the user to have a cable that is reversible and can handle all these different types of capabilities makes the design challenge more complex. For example, when you're moving to Type-C for a USB 3.0 or a 3.1 design, you're going to have to implement two of the very high speed, or in this case, super speed plus data paths. These are the 5 gig and 10 gig data paths defined by the USB 3.0 and 3.1 standards, respectively. By having to add the additional data paths, you have the additional complexity of that, and having to manage the multiplexing of connecting to one or other of the two active data paths. The other thing is it increases the area slightly, as well as you can't just use an existing, say, USB 3.0 design to implement Type-C. You literally have to add this additional data path. And from an IP perspective, it requires a new PHY to do that. Now, if you also have the interest as a designer to add additional or provide power through the Type-C cable, especially at the higher power levels defined by the USB power delivery standard, then you're going to have to take into account how do you signal all the proper protocol handling for power delivery, and do it in conjunction with typically the power management IC that's going to be required in your system to do that. That's another layer of potential complexity. And then lastly, if there's interest in sending video through the cable using the alternate modes in USB Type-C, like DisplayPort, for example, then you have to address incorporating a DisplayPort controller and PHY into the system to be able to do that. With all these different capabilities, as you're layering them in, you're going to have to coordinate all these different operating modes. You're going to have to deal with a configuration channel block defined in the Type-C standard that has logic that you're going to need to implement to be able to manage all these different modes. You'll have power delivery messaging that helps you manage the power delivery capability, as well as some other operating modes that the power delivery messaging helps to manage itself. And the designers are going to need to figure out, for all this logic that you're going to need to implement in addition, that you want to do it whether in hardware, you want to do it in software, do you want to implement it with a microcontroller, do you want to handle it in the system CPU? And so there's layers of hardware and software complexity. The good news in all this that I've described is that there have been plenty of engineers that have successfully figure out how to navigate through all these potential design options and successfully implemented their USB Type-C product.
Now, I'm assuming since your business card says Synopsys, that Synopsys has some ways to address these design challenges surrounding USB Type-C. Is that right?
Absolutely. Synopsys has had a tremendous focus on servicing the IP needs for designers wanting to implement USB for many, many years. Most recently, we announced the industry's first Type-C IP specifically to support the Type-C standard, this new reversible connector. This new IP solution for Type-C supports all the USB standards from USB 3.1 to 3.0 and 2.0. And the way that we've architected the solution, the way we deliver it, fits in very nicely and complements our existing USB IP product portfolio consisting of USB PHYs, controllers, verification IP, FPGA prototyping systems, and software development kits. Specifically within our IP solution, we're announcing the industry's first USB 3.1 and 3.0 PHYs for this new Type-C standard in many of the leading-edge popular process nodes, such as the 14 and 16 nanometer FinFET and 28 nanometer process nodes. These PHYs that we've designed for Type-C implementation are designed for small area, which will help the designers minimize the costs required to support Type-C. And we've done this by combining our deep experience with literally thousands of USB designs that have used our IP and billions of production units. And all that knowledge, we're focused on providing these new IP Type-C blocks for providing high-quality IP that essentially will accelerate the designer's time to market as they try to rush these Type-C enabled products to market quickly.
Okay, so let's talk about market dynamics a little bit. What are you seeing that is new or different with the adoption of USB Type-C versus previous connectivity standards?
It's actually a very, very exciting time to look at the market dynamics. One of the great things is this new Type-C standard is becoming the fastest ever adopted USB standard in history. And why I say that is traditionally a new standard takes a minimum of 1 to 2 years or maybe even more to gain significant market traction. The new Type-C standard was just introduced in August of last year. And literally in a span of 7 months, this past March, Apple introduced their latest very, very thin, sexy MacBook with just two connectors. One of the connectors was an audio jack. And the second one was a single USB Type-C connector that was used to provide data, power, and video. Another high-profile product was Google introducing their latest Chromebook called Pixel that included a couple of Type-C ports in addition to traditional USB ports. So with the adoption and volume production availability of Type-C in these very high-profile USB host products, it's literally helped turbocharge the Type-C market itself and the ecosystem that supports it. Talking to customers around the world in many regions that now adding Type-C is simply not just a question of should they do it, but it's really how quickly can they do it before their competitors do. And again, I think that what makes this decision so easy for people to see is that they just get it. They get that reversibility of connector, they get how all the different capabilities of this new Type-C standard really makes it easy to use. And with the new IP that we're introducing, we're helping the designers basically introduce Type-C quickly to the market and really shorten their time to design.
All right, Gervais, let's flip the script entirely and start talking a little bit about food. Now, you mentioned to me that you have 6 or 7 different grills or smokers in your house. So tell me more about your love of barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it all started out when I was just a kid, and my father, he barbecued, but I think he really didn't enjoy all the smoke and fire and having to deal with that. So when I was a fairly young teenager, he basically turned all the barbecuing duties over to me. I probably in the early days burned my share of hot dogs and hamburgers, but I very quickly learned that to do good barbecue, you have to be able to master the fire. And then as I gained more experience and I graduated to other things, I turned that classic kettle into a smoker by putting in soaked wood chips like oak or cherry or almond. And I started smoking different types of meats and stuff. And today, I still use the classic Weber kettle to smoke my brined turkey for Thanksgiving. And I also use it to smoke a bone-in prime rib roast for Christmas dinner. And then I just start buying different types of grills and smokers depending on what type of food. I've got a traditional propane-fueled grill that's 3 burners that I can use for everyday cooking. I've got a massive 7 burner grill for when I'm cooking for 40 or 50 people, and when I've got it turned on, it's running 70,000 BTUs of power. I've got one that uses wood pellets. The beauty of that smoker is I can literally load up the hopper with wood pellets turn it on, and I can smoke a brisket overnight and literally have it for breakfast the next morning. I just like to do all different types of barbecue and like to share it with people. I think it's a very social sort of activity, and people enjoy good food, and I like to be in the middle of that.
I love it. You'll have to invite me over for dinner sometime.
Before you do that, you just have to tell me what type of food you like, and I'd be happy to make it for you.
Excellent. You can count me in. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Type C, and I certainly enjoyed having this discussion with you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to that EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed via Podbean or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about USB Type-C and the Synopsys solutions surrounding it, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 28th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.